I would encourage you to take the Bible you brought with you or one that is near you in the pew. If you are using one of the Red Pew Bibles, you want to turn to page 19 in the New Testament section. We will be in Matthew chapter 14 today. Matthew chapter 14, and I would encourage you to read along as we read the scripture today. Matthew chapter 14. So, November 1st every year is All Saints Day, and so this is the Sunday closest to All Saints Day, so we are having our All Saints Day celebration. On All Saints Day, we remember that we too are saints. On All Saints Day, we remember our loved ones who have died. On All Saints Day, we especially remember those who have inspired our faith, maybe those who actually led us to Christ. And so for some, All Saints Day is a day of thanksgiving and gratitude. It's a day of beloved memories. For some, it's a day of sadness because those memories bring a reminder of grief and loss. And so whatever you are feeling today, it's okay. It is absolutely fine, and we're glad you're here. And all those feelings are welcome. So we are going to be reading Matthew chapter 14 today to see Jesus as he is grieving the death of John the Baptist, his relative. And so let's read together Matthew chapter 14. We're going to begin at verse 1. At that time, Herod the ruler heard reports about Jesus. And he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him." For Herod had arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been telling him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And so this is Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, and he is the ruler over the area where Jesus lives, which is northern Israel up in Galilee. And so what had happened is Herod Antipas had divorced his wife, and Herodias had divorced her husband, and the two of them had married, which was illegal according to Jewish law. Also, it was not a good idea because it was going to cause a war, and it did cause a war because of Herod Antipas divorcing the princess that he was married to. And so John is telling them, this isn't a good idea. And what do? They throw John in prison for it. Okay. So, because John had been telling him, it is not lawful for you to have her. Verse 5. Though Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the crowd because they regarded John as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company, and she pleased Herod so much that he promised an oath to grant her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." The king was grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison. The head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, who brought it to her mother. His disciples, this would be John's disciples, came and took the body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus' relative, John the Baptist, has been unjustly imprisoned, and now he has been brutally murdered. John was executed by a weak man, Herod Antipas. Herod was drunk, he was aroused, he was showing off, and he got caught in a bad place. And so, in order to keep up appearances before those who were gathered for his birthday, he had John executed. John had been a part of Jesus' life since the very beginning. Since before the two of them were even born, their mothers met, and John the Baptist inside Elizabeth's womb began jumping and preaching in the womb of her wilderness that Jesus was the Messiah. John was family, literally family. And if anyone understood who Jesus was and what Jesus was called to do, it was John the Baptist. If anyone understand the sacrifices that Jesus was making, being misunderstood and mocked and persecuted, and John understood it. And now John was dead. So John's disciples come and they tell Jesus, and Jesus is shaken by the loss. He is grieving deeply. It's one thing to lose a loved one. It's another thing to lose a loved one in such an unjust and brutal way. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus gets into a boat and he crosses the Sea of Galilee because he wants to find a quiet place. But when Jesus arrives, he does not find a quiet place. Jesus finds people, thousands of people. And these folks are also grieving the death of John the Baptist. They've heard. And these folks are heartbroken, and these folks are sick, and these folks are hungry, and these folks are oppressed. And so, hoping to find quiet, but instead finding people, what rises up inside of Jesus? What would rise up inside of you? What rises up inside of Jesus is compassion. Compassion literally means suffering with. That's what rises up in him. He hears their cries alongside the cries of his own. He understands their pain because he himself is in pain. And what does this pain do? This pain opens Jesus. And it can open us. This pain opens Jesus, and it opens his heart in compassion, and it opens his hands in generosity. It opens him up in empathy, and Jesus helps. There's healing in the helping. He helps. He feeds. He blesses. He listens. He comforts. He heals. And there's healing in the helping. I have a good friend named Jen, and she lives in California. And Jen and I are part of a group of writers that gather together once a week online, and we're all in the process of writing books and things. Jen is an artist, and she posts the most beautiful things on Instagram. And she said this. She said, "Jesus let himself be interrupted by the pain of others even as he was suffering, reeling in his own. He took what scraps of food and hope there were and offered it all up to divine love. He knew something abundant could come from something threadbare. And it seemed he knew it started with honest sharing with himself, with others, and with the Sacred One. He held it all aloft, and the bread and the meat grew in abundance. Maybe it was healing for Jesus to nourish others while he was aching. What if suffering alongside each other and giving our hope to God, even if it's just grieving scraps, might be the thing that gets us all through? Maybe the 5,000 were fed and Jesus was fed too. Maybe we're still being fed today by stories like this. Stories that tell us hope matters, that our pain matters, our friendships matter, our cries matter, our gathering matters, our willingness to say we're hurting and also be interrupted by the pain of others. It all matters. And to that I say, amen. It matters. It all matters. Jesus was grieving, and what rose in him was compassion and generosity and hope. It was not bitterness. It was not revenge. It was not isolation. It was not despair. This is the power and glory of our great God rising in the midst of death. And this same power and glory of God is rising in you. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, "It's rising in you"? That's right. Jesus' brokenness and the crowd's brokenness and your brokenness, God gathers it and redeems it all. Broken hearts, broken bodies, broken systems, broken bits of bread and fish, God gathers it and redeems it all. This is our truth. God is good, and God is strong, and God is near. When we claim it, when we cling to it, this is what makes us saints. God's compassion and generosity and hope rising up in us so we find help in the healing. A saint is not a perfect person. Saints are simply people who understand their great need and turn to God and ask God to bring good out of the pain. That's what redeeming is. God bringing good out of the pain and good out of the brokenness and good out of the mess. And so today, as we claim again that we are saints, and we remember the saints that have gone before us, I invite you to claim this life, to say yes to it, to place your trust in Jesus and to follow him. I invite you to be a saint. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us remember who we are in Jesus. Wounded healers, saints, set apart by God and for God. And let us remember our purpose to lead a devoted life of compassion, generosity, and hope. A life worthy of the calling to which we have been called, a life which inspires faith in others. And let us recommit ourselves to this life by first honoring the lives of those who have inspired us, the heroic and the humble who ran the race before us, the martyrs who sacrificed all for the sake of Jesus, and especially those we have known and loved, who led us to Jesus and encouraged us to deeper faith and service. And so, blessed are you, O Lord our God. You surround us with witness after witness to your transforming love. Inspire us and empower us to persevere. Fill our hearts with courage. Blessed are you, O Lord our God. You weep with us in our heartbreak and loss. Comfort us and protect us in our mourning. Fill our souls with hope. Blessed are you, O Lord our God. You cry out in victory over sin and the grave. Raise us and release us to fulfill your calling. Fill our lives with faithfulness and good works. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his death. We thank you for his resurrection. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to all who were gathered there and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you and gave it to all who were gathered there and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves. If you're offering yourself, I invite you to put your hand over your heart. We offer ourselves in praise. We offer ourselves in thanksgiving, in our brokenness and in our strength. I invite you to open your hands wide to receive the Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us who are gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. I invite you to join hands with someone who's near you. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ. And make us one with each other. And make us one in ministry to all people. And grant us a rising faith, a persevering faith, a resilient faith, a fruitful faith, that we may stay true until you come again or until you welcome us home. We ask this for your honor and glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.